be called children of God. I realize it is so good to recognize the love of God, to understand it. Otherwise, we will despise what God has done. We'll ask why. And this morning, a sign of his love is the table that he has prepared for us. He has prepared a feast for us, a feast of bread and wine. Christians all over the world know about the bread and the wine, and they know a little bit what the word says concerning this. But oftentimes we don't really understand what it means and how much it shows us that he loved us. And in Luke 22, and he took the cup in verse 20, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Here it's about a covenant and about the new covenant. And God wants to make a covenant with you. This is something immense. God made a covenant with people again and again, like with Noah. As Noah heard everything and built everything, and it was in the so-called new world, he brought an offering to God. And God smelled it. And based upon this, he made a covenant with Noah and gave him the rainbow. And it was the same thing with Abraham. There was a battle, and Abraham was victorious. And then he sent him Melchizedek to serve him with bread and wine. And after this, he made a covenant with him. And this is to strengthen strengthen this, and he had to slaughter five animals and split them open. In the middle, there were five offerings. And on that day, he made a covenant with him, with many promises for his people and for the good land. And in the same way, we see in with Moses, as after they came out of Egypt, the Lord really he made the covenant with the blood. There was always something special when God from himself offered up to make our offer to make a covenant with man. And here, in the new covenant, God wants to offer us a table with bread and with wine. And this contains everything from before and even much more. And this is so good to see. It's the new covenant that he has made with us, containing bread and wine. Of the wine, he says, "This is my blood." And all Christians know that this represents our redemption. He has redeemed us. And it is good what the Lord has done. But today, we have a source for every week, a source to cleanse ourselves. It's the blood that cleanses us. There was blood and water. He also gave us the Spirit of life. And this is so rich that each one of us can have a portion in him. And every week, he can cleanse us of everything. And he has given us a cup of blessing. My brother said once, if we come together and keep the table and drink this cup, it is good to pray, "Thank you. You have given me the all of the blessings." We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies and on earth in Christ. But we want to experience every one of these blessings, and that's why we keep the table. We remember everything that you have done for us, and we want to obtain all these promises. This is a good prayer to have at the table, to call upon the name of the Lord and take the cup of salvation. The covenant indicates that there's a much greater feast, a real feast, a spiritual feast today. And the Lord says, do this because I will drink of this again in the kingdom of my Father when the reality comes. So today there's also the spiritual reality of this. There will be a meal that a feast that is incomparable. And today we can already drink of it all. But the Lord also gives us to eat. He gives us his body. That all of us who eat of this bread are made one. Amen. It doesn't just show us what he has done, but it shows us what he wants to give us every day. He is the true food. The Father has such great love towards us that he gave us his only begotten Son to be our true food. This is what we really treasure in the church life. But I realize if I have the reality of this, then I really appreciate it. If I keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread the whole week, yeah, if a brother comes and I'm offended, and I think, oh, my authority has now been threatened. And then I come to the Lord and purge out the leaven. And the Lord tells me, you're actually nothing. Maybe you're just a voice. And I realize this is a leaven in my heart. There's so many things that come up during the week that we have to purge out. And if we do it, then at the table, we really appreciate and treasure that the Lord is the true bread. And what we really eat into us, this transforms us. This makes us new. This is the new covenant which he has promised to us already, that he would come into our spirit and that he would write his law into our hearts. How does he do this? In our eating him as reality, and in reality, we eat this bread into us. And this gives us such strength, and this gives us the salvation of our soul. The table shows the bread and the wine, and shows that he has given us everything for our soul to be saved, that we can reach the end of our salvation, and that we can enter into the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, into the wedding feast, if we keep the feast in reality today. If I don't purge out the leaven today, then I can't keep the feast. Then at some point in time, I will be separated from the Lord. The bread of oneness won't work anymore if I don't keep it every day in reality. But if I lay hold of it, it is a guarantee that God will save my soul, because he is the true food. He writes this new covenant into our hearts, and this is wonderful. He brings us to the goal. The goal is really to be at this wedding feast. And it is good. We proclaim the Lord's death. Through his death, he overcame the enemy. Saints, when we come together at the feast, maybe it's raining outside and we're on Zoom and saints are so far away, and I think, but it's so good to open our mouths and proclaim that the Lord has conquered the enemy, and on the cross he was the victor. It is a victorious meeting, actually. We cannot overcome the enemy, but the Lord has already done it. And even if the week was bad, And we don't see his victory. We can look at the table. So Psalm 23 says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We are victorious in him. We are really bold fighters for Christ and his kingdom because the Lord is our Melchizedek. He strengthens us with bread and with wine. And that's why our battles are all victorious, because we have this Melchizedek who serves, ministers to us. And every week we can be reminded of the fact that the Lord has already accomplished the victory. Isn't this the love that he shows us and offers us at the table? And this Melchizedek, this feast of bread and wine, is what we keep. And everything that Moses did and all the feasts at that time and all the seven feasts that were revealed to us at that time are really a gift to us at this table, because the table encompasses all the seven feasts of the Lord. As Paul said, let us keep the feast. Which feast did he mean? He meant all the feasts of the Lord. He says, let us keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Purge out the old leaven. And Christ, our Passover, has been crucified as our Passover. And we proclaim his death until he comes. Yeah, we really proclaim it with our mouth. Yeah, we also can keep the Feast of the Trumpets at home. We proclaim what the Lord has done. We proclaim his death, his resurrection, through the Feast of the First Fruits until he comes. All the feasts in the seventh month concern the Lord's imminent return. And all of this we have, and the spiritual reality we have at this and in this table, the Lord has really given us all things in this table. If we don't see this, then we see later how the people really despise the table. They say, is it worth it to come together every Sunday? It's really sad to see this. And to summarize, one can say, and the Lord says it himself, I am a great king. And the Lord invites us. And he doesn't just invite us, but in Jeremiah, when he talks about the new covenant, he said, I want to be your Lord. I want to be your husband. And he talks about the new covenant. You can compare it to a wedding, because the covenant that he makes with us is even stronger than that. He prepares a table for us, this great king. If you are invited to a royal wedding of a king and a queen, and the king paid a huge price to give you the best food, it's the same as the father who said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And he invites us to the best meal ever, the best feast ever. And then the priests say, oh, this is contemptible. This is something we despise. If we invite someone just to dinner, and even if it doesn't taste that good, even out of respect, you say, yeah, well, this is something much greater. And it is good to see what the Lord has prepared for us, that we would come to the feast in an appropriate way. The king has authority. As the king invited people to the wedding feast in the Gospels, and one person didn't have wedding garments, and then he says, how did you get in here at all? And he binds his hand and feet and throws him out into the outer darkness. And recently we had fellowship about this. Yeah, at that time it was the custom that the king would prepare the garments for you for the wedding. He would even give you your Hugo Boss suit to wear to the wedding. And it's not about the outward suit. It's of course good to dress well for a wedding, but it's about our putting on Christ. He has given us Christ as our garment of righteousness. I can't come to the feast without Christ. I really have to cleanse myself. I have to honor the King by putting on Christ as my garments. If anything happens, then I use the chance to cleanse myself of this before the feast, that I would come in a worthy manner and with joy to his feast. The Lord has to make the feast new for us. I thank the Lord for such a good word in the past few weeks. This feast has become the center of my week. If the king invites you, you will prepare yourself. And then you look at your time schedule. When do you have to shower? When do you have to do this? When do you have to do it to be prepared? If you're really preparing for a feast, you really arrange everything so that it fits. So this feast has become more and more important in my heart. And this whole week should be arranged in such a way that it is directed, focused on this feast. And this new covenant is shown in the feast that he has prepared for us. It's a foretaste of the millennial kingdom. Yeah, praise the Lord. May the Lord show us more how much he loves us, that he gave us the new covenant and wants to make this new covenant with each one of us.